You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is good? It's your boy, Sosa Kremenjes, fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus, and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. So every Thursday, like last Thursday and like next Thursday, this is going to be our crossover edition of the Locked On Rams podcast. We got Locked On Eagles host Louis DiBiase to join me to talk about the Rams' and Eagles' upcoming matchup in Week 2. And so basically, we went through some questions in terms of the Eagles and then in terms of the Rams as well. And we just shared our thoughts really in terms of what we think is going to happen in this Week 2 matchup between these two very talented football teams. So without further ado, we're just going to hop right into it.
Help support your local businesses, whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops. Local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need your support, so let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community, because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into a crossover Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles and Locked On Rams podcast. I'm Louis DiBiase, joined today by the host of Locked On Rams, Sosa Kremenjes. Sosa, what's up, brother? First time talking to you. It's going to be a fun matchup this week between the Eagles and the Rams. These two teams are always tied together, right, with great offensive minds at head coach Doug Peterson, Sean McVay. These were the two teams that traded up and took quarterbacks first and second overall. 2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. They've had some big time battles over the past couple years, so I'm excited to get into part two of Wentz Goff this Sunday and part three of Doug McVay. It's going to be an exciting one, and for the Eagles, man, they got to win this one at 0-1. You guys are looking better at 1-0.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to meet you and finally kick this off. Now, you know, obviously for Rams fans and for Locked On Rams, we had a little bit of a better start to the season than you guys did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've kept a keen eye on the Eagles for the last many years, as two of my best friends are both diehard Eagles fans. And so I'm very familiar with the team dating back to the days of guys like Brian Westbrook and Donovan McNabb at quarterback. And so, like you mentioned, there's a lot of history between these teams. I think it's going to be obviously a hell of a showdown in week two. And like you mentioned, you know, we've played each other a whole lot in the last few years. So it almost feels like some sort of like a divisional rival in some sense. Yeah. And so I think it's going to be a great week. You know, I'm ready to go. And I guess you could just kick it off here.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into segments two, segments three, me and Sosa. We'll dig into this matchup, which is a pretty even one. And they have been even matchups in 2017, right? We all, Eagles fans, remember that game as the one where Carson Wentz tears his ACL diving into the end zone. But the Eagles do win that game. They clinch the NFC East and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That was huge. And their win against the Rams in 2018 was big, too. That was Nick Foles coming in after Wentz went down yet again. And that started the spark, the three-game win streak to make the playoffs. So this is going to be a back and forth battle like they always are. The Eagles have had the upper hand, and they've got to have it again on Sunday because they're 0-1. The Rams are coming off a big primetime win against the Dallas Cowboys, and they actually the Rams helped out the Eagles getting that win against Dallas. So we're going to get into the matchup on both sides of the football. Carson Wentz against that Rams defense, Jared Goff against the Eagles defense coming up next right here on Crossover Thursday with Locked On Eagles and Locked On Rams. And guys, sponsored today by CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBD MD has to offer, they're offering our Locked On Eagles and Locked On Rams listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code LOCKEDONNFL at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com. Promo code Locked On NFL for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBD MD.
Welcome back to the Locked On Rams / Locked On Eagles crossover episode. And so we're just going to really hop in, into the questions here. And so I got three interesting questions here for Louis based on the Eagles. Obviously, we're going to go back to their week one performance and just kind of break down, you know, how the team looked. Obviously the injury situation is going to be key moving forward. The Eagles are incredibly banged up and, you know, haven't had much fortune in terms of their injury luck in the last few seasons. Mm-hmm. But just to begin, so how are the Eagles really looking on that injury front? So I know in week one, obviously the team was banged up and, you know, they had some guys playing that were injured, and then they had some guys, obviously key players like Lane Johnson and Miles Sanders, who didn't play. Do these guys look like, you know, they're on track to play for week two? And how does the situation look just in terms of everyone's injuries, really?
Yeah, so the Eagles having bad injury luck might even be an understatement over the past 3 years. I've never seen anything like it in sports, and it continued week one. They were heading into the game without, I think, 6-7 starters, and then they lost Jack Driscoll, Boston Scott for a time, Vinnie Curry, Brandon Graham. It just doesn't end for this team since they won the Super Bowl, and I think maybe they sold their soul for a championship. And while I don't regret that, it is the case. We haven't been able to see this team at full strength in a long time. There was a lot of positive news, though, today on the injury front from head coach Doug Peterson, from the official injury report heading into Sunday's matchup against the Rams. Lane Johnson practiced fully today. He's expected to play, as is running back Miles Sanders and defensive end Derek Barnett. So those are three key pieces to the puzzle on offense and defense that the Eagles should get back on Sunday against the Rams. And Lane Johnson and Miles Sanders especially are huge. The run game was non-existent without Sanders and without Lane Johnson either, because the right side of the offensive line had two rookies, well, one rookie and one second-year player that had never played a single snap in the NFL before, with Nate Herbig at right guard, Jack Driscoll at right tackle. So you get Lane Johnson back at tackle, that's big. However, Vinnie Curry, their other defensive end, was placed on injured reserve, and so that's an injury that they're still dealing with. Brandon Graham luckily did come out of concussion protocol today, so he's also expected to start. As for defensive tackle Javon Hargrave, the starter next to Fletcher Cox, his status is still unknown. He's progressing, but Doug Peterson did not put a timetable on him. I don't think he'll play against the Rams, so expect Malik Jackson to be the other defensive tackle against Los Angeles. So I know that was a lot, but Sosa, that's what the Eagles have to deal with, and that's what my listeners have to deal with every segment one. I feel like this dark cloud that just comes over and says, hey guys, here are eight new injuries to key players. But today, at least, there were some positives that two of the most important pieces on offense, Miles Sanders and Lane Johnson, should be ready to go.
Yeah, that's good to hear, obviously, with this, you know, strange offseason we had and lack of an offseason, really. You know, everything's unprecedented, so it makes sense why certain players are kind of just getting up to speed and maybe suffering some soft tissue injuries and things like that. But I'm glad you touched on, you know, Lane Johnson and the running game in general without Miles Sanders and stuff like that, because my next question is based pretty much on the offense. So I watched the game with a keen eye against the football team in the first week. And so the offense looked great in the first drive. I mean, they were clicking left, right, and center. Everything they were running was working. You know, Carson Wentz threw a nice dart to Zach Ertz in the back of the end zone for a touchdown. So, you know, I thought seeing that first drive, you know, I thought it was going to be a very productive day for the offense. So what happened? Because they sputtered out relatively quickly, and they looked like they were just lacking really any juice and any flow moving forward. So can you explain kind of what happened and maybe how they can, you know, better establish a more productive offense kind of moving forward into week two?
Yeah, so it was an exciting start. The Eagles got out to a 17-0 lead. Carson Wentz honestly looked like the 2017 Carson Wentz that would have won MVP if he did not get hurt in Los Angeles with that matchup against the Rams. Pushing the football down the field to Jalen Reagor, who had a 55-yard reception. DeSean Jackson had a couple 20-plus yard catches. That 34-yard touchdown to Dallas Goedert, he was comfortable moving around. And then an offensive line that was kind of holding on for dear life against a very deep and talented Washington front four. it sputtered out of control. Wentz got hit 15 times in that game. He got sacked 8 times, and no quarterback. Look, I'm not giving Wentz a pass. He was inaccurate on Sunday. He was holding onto the football way too long for an offensive line that was holding on for dear life and not being able to protect him. He was forcing things down the field. 4 turnovers. He had 2 fumbles again. He has 50 fumbles now in 57 career games, 2 interceptions. So Wentz was really, really bad. But when a quarterback gets hit 15 times, when there's pressure almost every single snap, when you have less than 2 seconds to get rid of the football, you're going to collapse. And that's what happened. They blew a 17-0 lead. Washington scored 27 unanswered. And it's simply because, to me, it was for 3 reasons. 1, the offensive line could not protect Wentz. 2, Wentz wasn't doing the offensive line any favors, not getting rid of the football, forcing things down the field. And 3, Doug Peterson's got to put that offensive line, he's got to put his quarterback in better situations to succeed. When you are up by 3 scores, you cannot continue to be that aggressive, especially when you're not protecting 11. And when you see Wentz pressing, you've got to get him easy completions. Don't call a lot of deep stuff. Slants, drags, crossers, screens, you know, run the football more. And to me, I just think they were too aggressive, Wentz and Doug, for their offensive line situation. And so that's what I think happened was after they got up 17-0, the protection failed. And with that, so did Carson Wentz's ability to pass the ball efficiently and Doug Peterson to call the right plays. It was really all on the offense in that loss, and it was pretty disappointing because they started on fire.
Definitely. So we're going to kind of transition to the other side of the ball. Obviously, the Eagles have a lot of talent on the defensive side, and like you mentioned, there are a key few injuries. But just looking at the Rams from a fan's perspective, I guess, they have a lot of personnel. They have a lot of talent at these skill positions. They're, you know, capable of running a lot of different alignments, a lot of different personnel packages, and so on and so forth. So with their versatility on that side of the ball, what matchups do you think work well, you know, for the Eagles' defense? And do you think we can, like, really expect to see anything in particular from that side of the ball as we head into this week?
So I think the Eagles' defense was really good on Sunday. They allowed the fewest yards of any defensive unit on Sunday or Monday for week 1. And so I think that's a bright spot the Eagles can take away from that loss. There's not a lot to love about that, but I think you look at the disruption Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson had on the interior, a defensive tackle. You look at Darius Slay erasing Terry McLaurin, shadowing him all game. I mean, that's the exact missing piece of this defense. The Eagles have not had a true CB1 that can shadow a team's top target. They haven't had that since Asante Samuel in 2009 to 2011. I'm really excited about Darius Slay. I don't know if he's going to shadow Robert Woods. He might stay on one side because I think Woods, Cooper Kupp, even Van Jefferson, who I really like as a rookie out of Florida, I think Slay's going to stay on one side. So I don't think you'll see him matched up particularly on one player all game long. I think the way the Eagles get this win on the defensive side of the football is continue to get that pressure on the inside. Fletcher Cox has got to be as disruptive as I think Aaron Donald is going to be. And I think Malik Jackson's got to do the same. And he did that week 1 because I think quarterbacks, what do they hate the most? I think it's pressure up the middle. They like to step up in the pocket. They don't like a muddy pocket straightforward, especially for a guy that's not as mobile as a lot of quarterbacks in football and Jared Goff. I don't think he's a guy that always wants to roll outside the pocket, get outside the numbers. So if Cox and Malik Jackson can make him uncomfortable inside, that's the matchup that I'm really watching on this side of the football. Where I'm concerned, Sosa, is I think the Rams do a lot of misdirection with Jared Goff. They like to use play action, and the Eagles have been very undisciplined in those areas over the past couple years, and that was the case again on Sunday. When Dwayne Haskins had success, it was with misdirection, pre-snap motion, play action, and that's where I think the Rams could go after this defense. So it's going to be a fun matchup for sure.
Definitely, and there's no way better to kick off this week by and use NFL Game Pass, which is one of our sponsors. So this season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
All right, Eagles and Rams fans, welcome back into Crossover Thursday. Louis DiBiase alongside Sosa Kremenjes. So, Sosa, let's get in now to some questions I have for you about this Rams offense and defense. Aaron Donald on Sunday night, I was watching, knowing very well that that was the matchup the Eagles were going to have to deal with on Sunday, and seeing him dismantle double teams was very nerve-wracking, considering the Eagles' performance on the offensive line on Sunday against other pretty damn talented players on that Washington front, like Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, Dayron Payne, Ryan Kerrigan. And so my question for you is, the Eagles are getting healthier up front. Lane Johnson's going to play at right tackle. You've got Jason Peters at left tackle, Isaac Seumalo at left guard, Jason Kelce at center. So four-fifths of your line is intact what you expected to be starters this year. But where I'm concerned is that right guard, Nate Herbig, is going to play again week two. And I've been seeing Aaron Donald move across the formation. That's what I'm nervous about, is that Donald is going to go up against Herbig, and that's a matchup that I think, like the Washington matchup up front, could wreck this ball game for the Eagles offense again. So Aaron Donald is, I'm terrified of that matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking, and this is coming from a non-biased point of view, but this is the best player in football in Aaron Donald. And so
looks like it. Yeah.
He's made a lot of offensive linemen look pretty bad. And so, you know, it's obviously a disadvantage, you know, for Herbig and the Eagles' offensive line in terms of, you know, if he was going single one-on-one with Aaron Donald all game. But, luckily, like you mentioned, for you guys, the Eagles have an incredibly talented offensive line, and anchored by guys like Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and Jason Peters, like you mentioned. And so, I could see, you know, a situation in which defensive coordinator Brandon Staley does move Aaron Donald around a little bit. You know, his natural spot is the three technique spot, obviously. But, you know, over the last 2 years, and really even in the week one matchup, we've seen him moving up and down the line a little bit in terms of, you know, playing head up on a tackle and getting kicked out to that five technique spot and things like that, mainly because the Cowboys were starting a backup right tackle. And so you want to take advantage of these matchups. And so it makes sense to put Aaron Donald on the weakest offensive lineman early and often. And so I would expect to see a lot of things like that. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, line up over Lane Johnson at times and even move, you know, closer towards the nose tackle spot at times. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the more creative you can get with a guy like Aaron Donald, the better. But I also do think, you know, the Eagles are going to have a good plan for Aaron Donald, you know, dating back to the last 2 or 3 years. Every time the Eagles and the Rams have played, they've done a really solid job at blocking Aaron Donald. They're not going to, you know, put Herbig on an island time after time again and try to ask him to block the best player in football. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of, you know, slid protection in terms of Jason Kelce helping him double. And not only that, but I feel like the Eagles do a great job in using Aaron Donald's penetration against him, especially in the running game, by allowing him to shoot upfield and then kind of, you know, sending run plays in his vacated gap. And so that's something I'm going to look forward to in terms of this game, and something that we've seen in the past from the Eagles. So to sum up, I think, you know, obviously Aaron Donald's going to be a presence in the pass game, but it's going to really have to rely on the guys around him, because I don't think the Eagles are going to allow Aaron Donald to wreck the game.
Let me ask you about Jalen Ramsey sticking on this Rams defense. How are they going to use him against the Eagles? Because I don't think there's one guy. I mean, maybe Zach Ertz, maybe DeSean Jackson, Jalen Reagor, but I don't know if the Eagles are the type of offense where Ramsey comes in and says, we, like the Rams say, we have to have Ramsey lock down that player all game. Like, your assignment this week is just go after Zach Ertz or DeSean Jackson. How do you think they'll use Jalen Ramsey against his offense? How did they use him on Sunday night against a Cowboys offense that is also loaded with weapons? Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. Did they have Ramsey shadowing Cooper? Did he stay on one side? And how do you think they'll use him going forward on Sunday?
Yeah, so, you know, it remains to be seen, obviously, with the Rams' change at defensive coordinator. So we don't have the best idea yet of what, you know, Brandon Staley wants to run as a defense. But going off of week one, Jalen Ramsey did not shadow any particular receivers. So the Rams let Ramsey stay on his side of the field. And then opposite of him, they had Darius Williams, who was, I believe, a six-round pick. And this is his first year starting out on the boundary. So he played on his side. And then they had Troy Hill, who's been kind of like a, you know, practice squad guy, and then brought up to the regular roster and then started a few games, kind of like a spot starter, sixth man off the bench role, who's starting a nickel now. And so, you know, two-thirds of that secondary are kind of built up new in this season. But I don't anticipate that Ramsey's going to shadow anybody. He didn't shadow anybody in week one. And like you mentioned, obviously the Cowboys do have three incredible receivers. So it, you know, it didn't really make sense necessarily to shadow anybody just because all those guys could do damage. And I think the Eagles are similar in that regard in terms of, you know, they may not have as much high end talent at the receiver position, but, you know, they got a couple of guys that can do damage. And so I would expect the Rams to just let the corners play their sides. Though we did see in 2019 when the Rams did trade for Ramsey that, you know, for those final eight games where he did play with the Rams, they did allow him to travel and they really let him shadow receivers, number one receiver specifically. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he did follow somebody, though I'm going to anticipate that he's probably just going to be left on his side of the field and the Rams are just going to play their matchups how they did in week one.
So last thing for you here on Crossover Thursday, let's move to the offensive side of the football for Los Angeles. No Brandon Cooks this year, no Todd Gurley. What is the identity of this offense, and how do you think moving forward they're going to attack defenses like the Eagles? It's interesting. I still think they're talented. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, that's a great trio of receivers. I like Cam Akers. I know they used a lot of Malcolm Brown on Sunday. Moving forward, do you think they're going to use Akers more, and what's the identity here without, you know, a couple core pieces the past couple years with no Cooks or Gurley anymore?
Yeah, so I think that's probably one of the more interesting storylines of the Rams in 2020 is that their identity on offense is not having an identity pretty much, is that they have so much talent and so many good players at the skill positions, like you mentioned. They have three or even four really good receivers when you think about Josh Reynolds rotating off the bench too. They got two good tight ends in Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett, then a fourth-round pick in Bryson Hopkins, who's probably not going to play much this year. But like the Eagles, they have a really good duo at that tight end spot. And then again, when you look at the backfield, they, like you mentioned, they have a undrafted free agent veteran in Malcolm Brown, who looked good in week one. And he's always been a good spot starter in the past few years when Todd Gurley's been hurt. Then they'd spend the 52nd overall pick on a very talented player in Cam Akers. And not only that, but last year they spent two third-round picks trading up in the third round to draft a guy out of Memphis in Darrell Henderson, who didn't play much in week one, though he was nursing an injury in training camp. And so it made sense why he had limited snaps in week one. But I would expect that to change moving forward. Now, in terms of who they really are, I think their idea is to be a multiple offense this season. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of 11 personnel. Obviously, that's who Sean McVay is. That's where his offense is based, running the outside zone based running game out of 11 personnel. And then kind of, you know, stemming the rest of his offense through that in terms of the play action game and just kind of meshing his concepts together. But with how much talent they have at tight end and, you know, maybe the lack of experience and talent that they have across the offensive line, we've also seen the Rams take a lot of snaps in 12 personnel because it's helping them sort of mask that inefficiency on their offensive line. And so the Rams ultimately actually ranked per PFF in the top 10 last week in snaps in 11 personnel and snaps in 12 personnel. And so, you know, I expect that to be the case moving forward. I think they're going to be multiple. Every game is going to be a different story. And not only that, but the backfield, I do expect to see more K-makers as we go forward. I think the Rams kind of took a more conservative approach in terms of their rookies with, you know, a lack of preseason and just a strange offseason. I feel like they didn't really want to toss their rookies out in the fire in week one. And it showed with the lack of usage of guys like Van Jefferson and K-makers and even the defensive players. And so I expect K-makers to slowly ease into that running back one role. And, you know, a couple weeks down the line, I wouldn't be surprised if K-makers is taking maybe 70% of that work. And, you know, Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson are taking 15 and 15 a pop. But I think the Rams' identity this season is just going to be playing matchups week by week and just being multiple moving forward.
Eagles fans, Rams fans, we hope you enjoy the game on Sunday. We hope you enjoyed this edition of Crossover Thursday on Locked On Eagles and Locked On Rams. Louis DiBiase joining you alongside Sosa Cremenjes. You can follow me on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Follow Sosa on Twitter at QBSMVP. Sosa, brother, good to talk to you. We'll do it again down the road. Maybe these two teams will find themselves in the postseason against each other, but I can't wait for the game on Sunday, and I'm nervous, man, because the Eagles need this. They have never started 0-2 in the Doug Peterson Carson Wentz era, so it's at home, and but I'm guaranteeing you it's going to be one that goes down to the final few possessions, because I feel like it always does with these two teams.
Absolutely. Like you said, it's going to be a fun game. You know, there's that interconference rivalry in terms of two NFC teams duking it out. And this game could have, you know, big implications down the road when come playoff time, you know, someone's going to have to hold that head-to-head tiebreaker. And so,
for sure,
like you mentioned, it's going to be a big game. It sucks that there's no fans. You know, it doesn't suck so much for us because the link can get pretty wild. But
that's true.
You know, good luck. Hopefully everyone, you know, can stay healthy and hopefully you guys can bounce back quickly. And, you know, hopefully we have a great game on Sunday.
You guys can subscribe to Locked On Eagles or Locked On Rams on any podcast platform or any of our Locked On podcasts across the country. The Eagles, the Rams, they kick off Sunday at 1 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. We're signing off for now. This has been Crossover Thursday on Locked On Eagles and Locked On Rams. We'll see you next time on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.